This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's on anywhere.
You're on Saturday Magazine with me, Nevena and Macca. You just heard from the wonderful Josh Burns, but now we're having a very timely conversation, Macca, with someone on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Look, it's one of our favourites.
You say that about everyone.
Well, no, I don't actually. I can run off a list of those that aren't favourites. Catherine Bennett, and Catherine is the Professor and Chair in Epidemiology at Deakin University. And I'm sorry, Catherine, earlier we actually called you from Alfred Deakin. So how the hell are you first? I mean, I've seen a couple of pieces where, you know, you talked about sort of not coming out of the shadows, but, you know, how your work, you know, you did your work, and then all of a sudden in COVID you became, you know, someone that was on our television screens. People were fascinated by your China cabinet. and things that were happening, and of course I was one of the ones that commented on some of the cups and saucers, but that your public, you know, your private life started to become public, didn't it?
Look, very much so. It is a strange thing. As an academic and a researcher, and I was head of a big school, I had done media in the past, but nothing quite like this, where it was really, you know, on the fly, as things were developing, new information would come in and you'd be asked to analyse and comment on it, you know, within minutes. You know, yeah. It was an extraordinary time of intense, you know, circulation of information and misinformation. So that really prompted, I think, that high level of engagement. But it was interesting because I always felt like I had everybody in my dining room, which is where I set up an office. To kind of work more efficiently during that time. And it was interesting because since then, of course, you know, been out and about meeting lots of people, but everyone's very clear that no, you're in our lounge rooms, you know. And so it was a nice to be able to start to really meet the people you were talking to. But I must say, it's been lovely that people take the time to write to you and tell you a bit about their lives and how it was impacting them, and also, you know, how you were part of that in their own family, in their own most intimate circles, or in their workplaces, you know, that people were relying on the information. So very rewarding for people to give you, to be so generous to give you that kind of feedback.
Catherine, it's Nevena here, and people might not know that Australia is currently experiencing the longest break between infection peaks since Omicron arrived in 2021, but we're all too well aware that winter is just around the corner. What does that mean for us specifically in the Victorian context in COVID?
That's a good point, Nevena. We always have to worry about our winter conditions that really work well, unfortunately, for respiratory viruses. You know, they much more easily spread. Our immune systems can be a little bit run down. Our days are shorter. We spend more time indoors. And so the mixing with other people in more closed air spaces happens more frequently over winter as well. So we know that gives any virus, you know, more opportunity. But we've also seen this pattern of the major peaks happening about 6 months. And it seems to be the period where you have a peak, a lot of people are infected. For many of us now, you know, that's a reinfection. And then you come off the peak as more and more people have just had their immunity boosted and are less likely to contract a new version of the virus. But the other thing that's different to last winter is we've got a lot of different variants circulating, dominated now by this XBB family. But even there, we've still got a mix of different variants. So you can potentially now have reinfections even within a wave, which keeps infection rates up a bit. The good news is, if you look over the Omicron period from summer the previous year to now, each peak, even if the infection rates might not be that different, the number of people who become very unwell has dropped each time, and still see deaths, but not as frequently as we did with those first waves when we had the virus suddenly, you know, in every corner of the country.
And how are we tracking with community immunity? Many people have had their boosters. Many people are looking to get their fourth booster now to protect themselves, their loved ones, and their communities ahead of these, as you said, these winter months where it's not just COVID that's floating around. We have influenza A, coughs and colds, and if you're anywhere near children, of course, gastro and other things. But how are we tracking as a community?
Look, they do these sero surveys, and they've been doing these sporadically. The last one was done late last year and reported in February this year out of the Kirby Institute. And it tells us that, you know, we still have that very high immunity that comes from that background vaccination coverage that we have. And in adults, that's well over 90%, and or 95% even. And now we've seen a rise in the number of people that have experienced infections as well. And put those two things together and you have quite good coverage of that general immunity in the population to protect against serious illness anyway. Of course, now that we're a way off that last big peak we had in January, people are becoming a bit more susceptible. So the extra protection you get from a recent booster or an infection that actually reduces your risk of having an infection at all, or the symptoms, or in fact the risk of you passing it on to others, that's waned now for the majority of people, which is why we start to become vulnerable to that next wave. So our immunity is good, the protection against serious illness is good, but we still want people who are 65 and over in particular to really look at having that updated booster if they haven't yet had it, because that might just be
I've had mine, Catherine, but I'm not 65 yet. but I've had mine, and you know, my co-host Nevena was out of action a week or so ago. She got a terrible dose of COVID, didn't you?
It was absolutely awful. And Catherine, that happens to coincide with something that I've read recently in your article, is that young adults are still the group where most infections and reinfections occur. And although I'm not technically part of that group, maybe I'm slightly adjacent. Why are young adults so infectious?
Well, I think they're the group, you know, from 19 to 39, that actually include people who just have more connection, more social networking. They, through the nature of their work, they've got kids at home, their families, so that there's people going off in all directions during the day and then coming home. So there's multiple entry points of the virus into each household. So they are the group where you have the biggest mixing, and that's what we see associated with higher infection rates, and that's true everywhere in the world. So it's just harder to control. But also, they're often people who are more likely, particularly younger and children as well, to have asymptomatic infections, and that might be as many as a third of infections. So again, if you don't know you have an infection, then it's really hard for us to you know, say to people, well, stay home if you're unwell. It doesn't cover the majority of people that either haven't yet got symptoms, even if they get them, but are infectious, or the ones that never get symptoms but are still, you know, helping keep this virus circulating in the community. So that's one of the key groups. And, of course, they can have a vaccine. The current latest dose, if it's 6 months since your last dose or your last infection, you know, that is available to any adult 18 and over in these new BA.4/5 updated vaccines. So some people are looking to that and want that. For others, it might be hard to get 6 months without an infection, you know, to actually meet the criteria. But it's still worth looking at if people just think, you know, I've had a couple of infections now, I want a break from infections. We still don't quite know if reinfection increases your risk of other things down the track with long COVID. So it's worth looking at that infection risk as part of your own calculation about whether you want to get a booster now.
And Catherine, just lastly, what else can we do to protect ourselves? And when I say ourselves, it's never just about yourself. It's about your family. It's about the people that you go out with. It's your colleagues. It's your friends. It's the members of your community. It's the person you sit next to on the tram. We are so interconnected, but how do we protect ourselves and those around us this winter, in addition to getting the booster if it's eligible for us?
Well, that's right, Nevena. I think that's one of those things we have to think a bit more about in winter is other people. And people have said to me, you know, sure, say worry about people who are vulnerable, but you don't know who they are. But in fact, we have a pretty good signal. There's still enough people wearing masks that tell you maybe they've got the infection themselves, but maybe they're also the people that are either with someone who's vulnerable or are vulnerable themselves. And so we need to be really mindful of that. And so things like masks can't stop you from being exposed because the virus is out there, but they may stop you getting enough virus particles to establish an infection or to share them with other people. If you're producing virus particles and don't even know and you're out and about. So, you know, my kind of rule of thumb now is if you're in a really crowded place indoors, we still recommend masks, and I still put a mask on. I had one on in a pharmacy yesterday. But if you're also around other people wearing masks in a you know, maybe not quite as closed an area, and maybe you wouldn't always think to put a mask on, but if I see someone else with a mask on, I'll put a mask on just out of respect for them. And I think that helps everybody then.
Catherine, it's...
And I think ventilation as well. I was just going to say, you know, choosing the more ventilated options, whether you're going out to a cafe or you've got people coming to your home, all of those things matter. And anyone with any symptoms, whether it's COVID, flu or anything else, avoiding socialising if you can, and potentially even working from home if you can, are still really important ways that we can help that respiratory burden be a bit more manageable for everyone over winter.
Yeah.
Catherine, sensible strategies,
yeah,
Becca.
Sensible.
Wear a mask, get vaccinated, and think about other people. You truly are one of our favourites.
Catherine's very sensible. We like that. Look, I want to thank you for all the time you've given us over the past couple of years, Catherine, but also for your work and your ability to communicate a message that people can actually understand. And, you know, a lot of people obviously have acted on it. And thank you for bearing the brunt of some of that public discourse. All of us, those in the public eye, get it. You've done it with good humour and, you know, you've stayed the course. What you've done has made a difference. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Macca.
And have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, Catherine.
Cheers.
Good day. Thanks.
Cool.
Bye.
That was Catherine Bennett, the Chair of Epidemiology and a professor at Deakin University, and has been a regular on the show, and I'm sure we'll be speaking to Catherine again soon.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.